Arts Centre Melbourne and the National Gallery of Victoria form the heart of the arts precinct. We're standing between Arts Centre Melbourne's Hamer Hall and its theatres building. And this is the site of the future Lark Bundup Garden, designed by Hassell. And we'll talk about this garden a little bit later on in the tour. The land on which the Melbourne Arts Precinct and the Arts Centre Melbourne sit have long been a place of gathering and storytelling, song, ceremony, celebration and commemoration for First Nations people. This was also the site of Worth's Park, which was a huge entertainment precinct comprising about 4.5 hectares. From as early as the 1880s, this site had something associated with a circus on it. So the Worth brothers acquired the site in the early 1900s. And when we say circus, this was actually a really huge precinct. It included a 5,000 seat amphitheatre, or Worth's Olympia, which was used for circus performances. It had a dance palace, it had Japanese tea rooms, a roller skating rink, an ice skating rink, and various temporary structures housing animals, sales outlets, retail outlets, and sideshows. The Olympia was unfortunately destroyed by fire in 1953, and the Argus newspaper at the time reported, sadly, the deaths of 4 monkeys and a Great Dane dog. In terms of the history of this place as we currently see it today, in 1959, Grounds, Romberg and Boyd were commissioned to design a gallery and a performing arts centre and spire. Roy Grounds was the lead architect on the job. And when Grounds, Romberg and Boyd split in 1962, he remained in control of the project and worked on it until his death in 1981. And unfortunately, he never saw the theatres building in Hamer Hall completed. The Arts Centre Melbourne's theatres building and Hamer Hall actually were stage two of the master plan, with the NGV being delivered first. They're both listed on the Victorian Heritage Register, and their style is listed as late 20th century structuralist. If we think about this style of architecture, it looks at kind of honesty and materiality. So these buildings are clad in concrete. There's a clarity and a simplicity of form, but Grounds quite liked the flourish. And so the spire is this kind of almost organic and expressive nod to that flourish. So we could think about these two buildings as brutalism with a little bit of added extra. The theatres building and Hamer Hall were originally conceived of as one building under a spire, linked by a covered portico to the NGV. And through the design and engineering process, they were split into two buildings. And this was due to the fact that basically we're built on a swamp. And so the condition of the ground under here is Coat Island silt, and it's relatively unstable. There was also structural concerns following the collapse of the Westgate Bridge in the 1970s, and they were quite worried about the weight of the spire. So it was split into two buildings, and the theatres building was designated for theatre performances, and Hamer Hall was for concerts. And what's really interesting to note about these buildings, the original sketches or the early sketches show that they were meant to have significantly lower profiles. Hamer Hall barely rose above the ground plane of St Kilda Road, and the skirt of the spire actually brushed the ground. It was quite elegant, but the outcome is also really something I think we've all come to love as Melburnians. In terms of the interiors of these buildings, they're heritage listed as well. They're an incredibly rare example of Academy Award winning set and costume designer John Truscott's work, and he designed the sumptuous interiors in the 1980s. Subsequent renovations have preserved and respected his original designs, as they are such an unusual surviving example of his work. Obviously, being a set and costume designer, many of those works were temporary, but these are staying for the long term, which was great. In terms of renovations to these buildings, Hamer Hall was updated in 2012 by ARM, and the State Theatre is currently undergoing work, which is designed by NH Architecture, as part of the Melbourne Arts Precinct Transformation Project. And we'll talk about that also a little bit more later at the end of the tour. We're now at the National Gallery of Victoria, which opened in 1968. Roy Grounds designed this building, and at the time he was a really well-known residential architect. And the gallery was a real step up in terms of the scale of his work. His own house from 1954 can be viewed as a domestic scale model for the NGV. And if you look it up, you can see a very similar closed plinth with beautiful highlight windows and a floating roof above it. The building's designed with really clean, crisp lines and pure geometries. You can see, if you look at the plans of the building, a rectangle, a triangle, and a little hidden circle out the back, which I understand is the gardener's shed, but that might not be true. The building has a Japanese or Orientalist influence. It's clad in bluestone and surrounded by a moat with an elegant roof floating above the concertina highlight windows. And to me, it feels a little bit like a Japanese castle. It had three open courtyards on the inside, and these were filled in by architect Mario Bellini in the late 1990s renovation. It's a little bit of a sad moment for me. I do think those filled-in courtyards would have changed the light in the building, but also recognise that the NGV at the time was bursting at the seams because it was so popular. Bellini also proposed to remove the water wall. However, there was a huge public outcry and protest ensued, and so the water wall remains. And I think most Victorians and Melburnians would have touched that water wall, and it's such a special moment as you enter the building. This building houses one of my favourite spaces in all of Melbourne. It's the Great Hall with the extraordinary stained glass ceiling by Leonard French. And I love the fact that you can just kind of lie on your back in this room and stare at the ceiling.